Future-proof gold from Newstalk.
Now, it's standard science fiction fare, isn't it? The idea that you can download your personality onto a computer before they die and then they can live forever on the internet. Well, our next guest is trying something not dissimilar to that, and the technology is almost within reach. His name is James Vlahos. He's creator of Dadbot. Welcome to the program, James. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me.
So we got in touch with you over this story that we first saw in Wired, and it's the idea that you can almost bring people's personalities to life with technology. Can you talk to us a little bit before we talk about Dadbot, about where we are with that now?
Where we are is that there's this great fascination and obsession in Silicon Valley and in technology more generally with creating computer conversation, artificial intelligence that can talk to us in our own language, natural language, whether by voice or by text. So you see this in Siri and Cortana, things like that on your smartphone, or Alexa from Amazon. So the idea is that we had this era where we were all tethered to our desks, typing on keyboards and clicking mice. Then that shifted to the smartphone era, and we're tapping and swiping. And voice and conversation is seen as the next big paradigm shift, where we're just, it's seamless and the computing's around us and you just talk to the computer and it does what you want and it talks back. So that's the dream. The reality is that a lot of progress is being made toward that goal, but that still the idea of just having a conversation with the computer the way you would with another person, that is still quite far off. It's considered one of the most challenging problems in artificial intelligence overall.
Sure, but we've almost passed the first hurdle, which is being able to synthesize speech, which we were able to do a long time ago. But now also computers can pretty much understand the words that we're saying, not the context, but they can hear the sound of the words that we're making. And we can, for example, transcribe an email and it'll get it 95% correct. So that obviously is the first technological hurdle. What's the next hurdle when it comes to having a realistic conversation? Because there's a few pieces to this. Talk to us about Pullstring and the companies that are trying to turn a realistic conversation into a commercial technology.
Right. Yeah, what you were just talking about is that ability of natural language processing, so just turning the sound waves into words. And that was a huge challenge and one that people have been working on since the 1950s. And really only in the past few years, there's been these steep improvements in that ability to the point where, yes, like it's much better than it's ever been. And it's really good enough to work. The next challenge is what's known as natural language understanding, which is actually taking those words and what did the person mean when they said this? What was their intent at this moment in the conversation? And that's the nut that's really tough to crack. So for my project and for many other projects out there right now, there's a platform, for instance, called Pullstring. And in that, it's for creating bots. It's for creating these conversational characters. And the programmer, someone like me, gives the bot something to say, and then you have to think of all the things that people might say back to the bot at any given moment in the conversation and craft sort of elaborate sets of rules and conditions and synonyms and syntaxes to try and parse what it was that a person might have said.
But that to me seems like a very closed set of understanding about a conversation, the idea that you have to program in everyone's responses. I thought we were a bit further than that, because I remember playing computer games back on literally the ZX81, Spectrum computers back in the 80s. And I remember, a decision-based conversation was possible because there were limited outcomes. And it sounds what you're talking about is very limited. There must be more to it than that, surely, more to it than just saying, "Hi, James, how are you?" And then trying to figure out what the 10 things someone might say back and program a response to those. There must be more to it than that.
Right, there is. And in fact, what I described people sometimes call GoFi, which stands for good old-fashioned artificial intelligence, because it is in varying degrees methodology that's been used for decades. So a couple of things have changed. I mean, one is the authoring platforms, even for GoFi, have gotten much more sophisticated. So it sounds sort of simple, oh, you know, writing these rules and predicting the words a person might say. But the rules can be written very creatively, flexibly. They can be even generated automatically in some cases through machine learning, where, you know, you provide a program like PulseString with some examples of what people might say in response to a bot. It then taps a much bigger, you know, big data type set of utterances, you know, millions of things that have been observed to be said in social conversations online. And the computer itself kind of helps formulate those rules.
Yeah, and I think I think that's a much more interesting idea. And I think I remember talking about this maybe 5 years ago, where someone was suggesting that there was already enough information on your social media field to in your social media history to be able to construct a pretty convincing avatar of yourself using a machine. If you knew how to program language, you would be able to recreate someone's personality. In fact, I was doing an event with IBM not so long ago, and at that, I sat down one of the executives over lunch. Sort of, I boast sounds like a negative word, but he was sort of, you know, he was boasting about the fact that now you can program IBM with just 2,500 words into its Watson artificial intelligence program, and it can give you a psychological study of the person who said those words that are as accurate as if they had a professional psychologist assess their personality. And that, to me, is a very bold claim. Do you think that understanding is that we're close to that from what you've looked at in Silicon Valley?
What I've seen is that we are, you know, in these more advanced machine learning, neural net-based approaches, some of the things that are getting good is sort of one-to-one pairings. So that's, you know, you ask a question of a computer and it essentially hunts through examples of millions of utterances it's seen, or web searches, you know, what did someone click on once they typed in words into the search box, and you get an answer back. So if you think of conversation as just these little, you know, one-to-one things, statement response that exist as islands, that machine learning's getting pretty decent at that, because that's sort of a pattern matching problem that machine learning is good at. What everybody is still struggling with, and by everybody I mean Amazon, Apple, Google, the rest, is the ability to construct whole conversations where, you know what's been said, you know where the conversation is going, what are the pronouns referring to, what is the context of the whole conversation. And that's just deeply, deeply challenging, because you sort of have to have a conversation, you have to know how the world works, and you have to know what objects are in the world, what entities are in the world, yeah, and have logical reasoning. There's a lot more than just the words, which are almost the tip of the iceberg of thinking.
So you have invested personally in this in a way that I suppose many technology authors and journalists haven't. Can you talk to us about Dadbot?
So the Dadbot project was something that was spurred by a personal tragedy in my family's life, which was that last year my father was diagnosed with lung cancer, and it was a terminal diagnosis. We knew we were going to lose him within months, essentially. So the family started off by having me do a conventional oral history project where I sat down with him for a dozen sessions, each an hour or more, and just recorded him telling his whole life story. So I got that whole thing transcribed. I had nearly 90,000 words sitting in a binder, and this great resource, but this very inert resource. And as someone who had been researching conversational AI, I knew about, among other things, this PulseString platform. And I thought, you know, there's a way I could turn this into something interactive, to make a sort of a chatbot version of my dad, whose mission was primarily just to share his life story, but secondarily to, you know, show little flashes of his personality or his sense of humor or his way of singing, his distinct elocution. So that's what I started doing, and I created the Dadbot.
So this is, to be clear, this is an artificial intelligence program you're working on that has the voice of your father, who at the time was dying of cancer.
That's right, yeah. So the primary way you interact with him is you add him as a contact on Facebook Messenger, and then you send text messages back and forth with him. And, you know, he'll talk about when he worked on the newspaper when he was in college. He'll talk about meeting my mom. But rather than sort of delivering this long monologue, it's broken into little messages, and you ask questions, or as a user, you ask questions of him, or you react, or you say, oh, yeah, I'm bored of this. Let's talk about something else instead. So you have a chat conversation, and then within that, from time to time, you get audio clips as well, where you might hear him singing or telling a joke or telling a, you know, sort of a set piece anecdote that I wanted to have him deliver in full in his own voice.
We have a clip of that because I want listeners to have an idea of this, because we're talking sort of theoretically, but this is the real voice of your late father. And this is part of the sort of response you might get in the program if he was telling a story.
On our rugged eastern foothills stands our symbol clear and bold, 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 bold. Big C means to fight and strive and win for blue and gold. Golden Bear is ever watching. Day by day he prowls, and when he hears the tread of the lowly Stanford Red, from his lair he fiercely growls. Grrrah, grrrah, grrrah.
He obviously had a real sense of humor. James, what was his name?
John James Vlahos. So he was the son of Greek immigrants. He grew up in a farm town in the Central Valley here in California. He was a big sports fan, so he worked for the sports desk on the newspaper in college. He also acted in plays and shows and sang, and then he became a lawyer. So he just had many, many facets of his personality, this, you know, erudite, wonderful, and yes, funny, very, very amusing man to hang out with.
Why did you want to do this? Because, you know, this story is going back to Frankenstein, the idea of bringing back pieces of someone to try and recreate something. Surely there were people who talked to you out of this for psychological reasons or mental health reasons. Why would you want to bring back pieces of your father in a almost living way?
Well, I mean, all of the reasons that I think anybody losing somebody they love, just that desire to preserve the memory, to preserve the details as much as possible. You know, we take pictures and we shoot videos and do the conventional oral history. And these are all just attempts to get preservation, essentially. And all of them are grossly incomplete. You know, you're just left with kind of these shards of a real person. And doing it this way, I mean, I had mixed feelings myself going into it about whether it would work and what it would be like and whether it was advisable. And what I kind of came up with was, you know, I was not trying to recreate him. It wasn't going to be him. It was very obviously not going to be him. It's just this little chatbot. But at the same time, he has so many stories and he has so many elegant and idiosyncratic ways of saying things. I actually thought this medium of chat, like I could capture some nice aspects of him that I really wanted to remember. And even more than that I wanted to share with others down the line, like his younger grandchildren.
And what did he make of it? Because he was obviously aware that you were making a digital version of him that would live on beyond his death.
Yeah, so the first pass, he just didn't really get what it was. Like, what chatbot? Like, what is this exactly? So there was that level. And then the next level, when he finally saw it, you know, I won't say that he was jumping for joy. He had his mind on the biggest possible things, namely his own impending death. But he appreciated it, and he, you know, he commented to me that like the bot sounded like him, like it was saying things that he actually said, And that was accurate because I had mined his own oral history transcripts to take this information and a lot of these phrasings. And he also said that he liked that it was going to be something that sort of his descendants would be able to have to get to know him a little bit.
How far would you take this? I mean, the technology is sure, in the amount of information that you have there, you probably could glean his political leanings. How far would you like to take that? Would you like to take it where you'd be able to have a conversation with him about real life, real-time politics, where he might tell you what he feels about the world as it's happening now, generated from sentiments from past recordings? Do you want to go that far?
I don't think I do, because that would be fake, right? It would be, he's not actually alive to be having those reactions to things happening now. So it does become, this sort of synthetic, scary thing. But to any extent, I think that I could, things he's already said, or, talking to him about his life, any of that, that I could make better, richer, deeper, that would interest me. And then maybe the one that's hard is not the specific conversations that you reference, but like what I like to be able to just have a slightly longer conversation with him about, like, oh, I'm having a really tough time at work right now. And he says, oh, that's too bad. What's on your mind? One of those sort of empathy conversations. I mean, it would be very hard to do, but I can certainly see like the allure of hearing his voice. He was that kind of a father who was just always that very supportive, empathetic person you could turn to.
And if you could keep that going, that would be something you might want to do.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it, but it's certainly, the idea is tempting. And I have no desire, I would say, to like create any synthetic visual interface. And I don't really have a desire to create a synthetic audio interface. Again, I'm the guy who created this, but there's, I can see some lines that I personally have no interest in crossing.
And yet somebody will someday. I'm pretty sure of that.
I think you're right. And if anything I've learned from having this dad bot and seeing the reactions I'm getting from people is that there's an intense appetite out there for people to have a technology like this.
Can we have an example of the sort of conversation you'd have with him? I mean, can you play both parts so we have an idea of what your dad bot really does?
Yeah. So typically, I'd start off by saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm back. Are you there?" And he might say something funny like, "Bots never sleep, Jamie. What's on your mind?" And I could say, "I want to hear more about when you were in college." And he'd say, "Okay, that's great. Let's get things started off with a song." And he might play an audio clip like the one you played before. And then he'd say, "So what do you want to know more about? My girlfriends, my classes, who I like to hang out with?" They're like, "Oh, of course, Dad. Let's talk about those girlfriends." And then he'd jump off into that and he'd start telling me a story about one of his girlfriends. And he leads the conversation, generally speaking, but I can react. And I can say like, "Oh, I bet you joined the newspaper just so you could meet people to date." It's like, right. I knew you'd think something like that, but it was actually because I was interested in sports. So there's a certain amount of banter you can have back and forth.
But James, that sounds like such a sophisticated, thing. But because you made it, you know where it can go. So it seems. To me, it seems really beautiful, but also quite sad, because it seems like you're just replaying the conversations that you had to yourself rather than having
sure,
a new conversation.
Yeah, I'm a very, in the tech world, you'd say I'm an edge case in terms of me being a user, because I'm also the creator. So it's better for people who didn't create him to talk to the dad bod, because they don't know everything that he can say. And it just, yeah, it's more natural. It's more surprising. With that said, like I've worked on it for so long and I'm always adding things, and you know, the flows are structured, but he jumps around, and sometimes he's waiting for you to initiate a conversation, but sometimes he'll just say like, hey, we haven't talked about high school in a while. Let's talk about that. And he'll go into that. He has variations of ways he can say the same things. So he has the ability, even for me, to sometimes surprise me. Didn't know we were going to go there. I didn't know you were going to say that.
What was the first conversation between your mom and Dadbot, her deceased husband, like?
Well, when she first talked to the Dadbot, he was still alive, and he was sort of looking on as she tried it. And they, which was weird, obviously, because here she is having a conversation with the synthetic version, and he's right there. And he thought it was weird too, because it's like, wait, there's two people in this room who are both being me right now. So that was weird. But yeah, my mom and the dad bot had, you know, there's the little bits of chit chat at the beginning of the conversation. Then I think they talked mainly about his ancestors in Greece. And then they talked about his sort of early childhood, elementary school. And, you know, it was one of those things where there were plenty of bugs and things that didn't work right. And it's sort of obvious, like, oh, this is a bot. We can see that. But just every so often, he'll respond beautifully, and he'll respond really naturally, or he'll make a joke, or you can see that he's really picked up on what the person said.
What did your mom do with that? Did she like it or did she hate it?
She liked it. She kept saying amazing. She, you know, it is what it is. Like you can tell it's not real. You can tell it's a computer program. So, and she hasn't used it in quite a while, and she wants to again now. And I think it's just, I'm going to see how it is, because I think it will be very, now my dad is gone, so it will be more intensely emotional.
It's a fascinating story. James Vlahos, author of Talk to Me, Inside Silicon Valley's Quest for Conversation, and creator of Dadbot. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.